Thank you very much, everybody. My name is Oktar Babur. I'm a neurosurgeon from Turkey, and I will speak on behalf of Mr. Adnan Oktar, who is a Muslim intellectual from Turkey, written 300 books in 75 languages, 1,000 websites, a TV channel, A9. And first of all, I would extend my thanks to Mark, especially, and all the ICD administration for organizing that conference in such a critical times, because there is problems all over the world. There are internal conflicts, violence, radicalism, extremism exists, especially in the concentrated Middle East, in Africa, but it's spreading worldwide. And we had speakers, for example, from Ukraine, and there are internal conflicts in Ukraine, and there is an economic crisis worldwide. There is a lack of love in the world, so we are living in very specific times, and we have to find solutions, because we had these experiences in the 20th century where everybody suffered, World War I, World War II, many other wars. 300 million people were killed because of communism, fascism, and other bloody ideologies. And everybody suffered, and still going on at the beginning of the 21st century, and it's progressing, of course. Now, United States is a very important factor, because United States is a superpower, as everybody knows. And, of course, as a superpower, has obligations, and with good intentions, tried in the Middle East, and for example, in Iraq and Afghanistan. But every time after that, we saw failures. There are billions of dollars, trillions of dollars were spent, actually. So with that kind of money, a lot of things could be done. Now, what I would like to talk about is especially how America can strengthen relations with Turkey, Muslims, and the Islamic world. This is a very important issue. As you, for example, the relations of Turkey and United States goes back to the time of Ottoman Empire. But recently, after the 1950s, when NATO was founded, as NATO allies, Turkey and U.S. relationships got a lot better. So we need the U.S. for solutions in the area. Turkey is a natural ally of the United States. President Obama, when he was elected in 2009, his first overseas visit was actually to Turkey. And he spoke in Turkish parliament, and then it was to Cairo, Egypt. And in Cairo, he said, America is not at war with Islamic world. That is a very important turning point, because at a time when the world needed peace, that was a great relief coming from President Obama. In fact, of course, United States is not at war with the Islamic world. The United States, U.S. is at war with radicalism and extremism. But we have to find a good solution to overcome these problems. Military interventions is not a solution. Everybody knows that, because there are casualties from both sides. U.S. lost a lot of people. Some of them were get injured, and I'm a medical doctor, for example. I work in New York University, and some of you know New York University Medical School, which is very close by the hospital. There is a Veterans Administration hospital also in the campus. There is a Tisch Hospital, Bellevue, and Veterans Administration. Veterans Hospital, Veterans VA Hospital, we had veterans from World War II, from Vietnam, for example. Some of them were physically handicapped, some of them had psychiatric problems, some of them were the drug addicts. And again, in Iraq and Afghanistan, many U.S. people got physical problems, lost their lives, and also drug addicts, and the rate of suicide is very high. So U.S. lost life, had their people, Iraqis lost their people, Afghanis lost their people, and Afghanistan is destroyed, Iraq is destroyed, Al-Qaeda is still there, ISIS is still there, Al-Shabaab is there, many Hezbollah is there, and actually the violence and radicalism is progressing. So violence cannot stop violence. That's number one rule. Violence only generates violence, actually. So how could we solve these problems, of course, and I will go a little deeper into that. First of all, these people, if you look at these people, these terrorists, the so-called Islamic terrorists, but of course, the terror they perpetrate is not an Islamic terror. Even though they have the Muslim identities, their names are Muslim, Muhammad, for example, Abdullah, whatever, it's not an Islamic terror. Of course, there cannot be a Christian terror or Jewish terror, because Judaism, Christianity, Islam, there is compassion, mercy, love, tolerance, justice, and treating the needy, protecting the people, not harming the people. For example, there is a revelation in Torah and Islam. God says, killing one person is like murdering one person, is innocent person, is like murdering entire humanity. And saving one person's life is saving entire humanity. So these are all common, all three divine religions. But what makes these people have their guns in their heads, for example? And if you look, watch some films in the YouTube, it's terrible, don't watch it. But if you see the Al-Qaeda people, I'm serious. For example, they cut the heads of some people and they play soccer with that. Or they stop the drivers in Syria, for example. There are many films. And they ask about the religious obligations. But if they are not happy with their answers, they shoot into their head. But these people believe that these, what they are doing is true religious obligation. How is that possible? Because they are false hadiths and they are true belief, which is based on scriptures for all the three divine religions. So on these false hadiths, with the fatwa is a religious obligation of their imams. There are imams preaching these things to these people, and they are killing or dying is not a problem for these people. So you cannot talk to these people or convince them that they are doing wrong. You have to bring solid evidences to convince these people. So an intellectual struggle is needed, and we have to discriminate first radicalism and true belief. So because of these people, there is Islamophobia, of course, in the world, in the West. And they are right. By seeing people like Al-Qaeda or ISIS and their terror and the violence, of course, people think this is might be Islam is like this. Islam is a religion of course, Islam is beyond that, but Islam is a religion of violence. But in fact, it is not. Islam means, the word itself derives from the word slim, and it means peace. There is no killing innocent people, and there is no justification for that. There are verses in the Quran which describes the war situation. So if you look at these verses, of course, in a war situation, but only done for defensive purposes. And I will give you powerful evidences, because I want to give you evidences you might you should understand what real religion is. It's different what they are doing, actually. In one verse, God says, if you are fought against, so if you are being attacked, you the permission to fight is given. So that means you can only declare war for defensive purposes. And in the times of the Prophet, that they did in the war situation, there are three wars actually, for defensive purposes when they were attacked. But Allah says also, if you control the situation, do not go beyond the limits. That means you cannot bomb the cities, you cannot do massacres, you cannot use atomic bombs, you cannot use missiles or bomb kill the innocent people. There is a hadith, of course, from the Prophet. He says, our Prophet Muhammad, if you're in a war situation, don't cut the trees, destroy the houses, kill the elderly or the children. So you cannot kill innocent people, only soldier to soldier. Nuclear weapons are haram, that means unlawful against religion. And you cannot bomb the cities. There is no justification. For example, also that these, of course, if in a war situation between two nations, if the other nation uses atomic bomb, there is no justification for you to respond and use atomic bomb and kill the innocent children. Crime is individual. You can only punish whoever commits the crime, not the innocent people, and then do massacres to the entire nation. So, but these facts has to be thought, of course, to these people. Otherwise, things will get worse. Of course, United States is a natural ally of Turkey. But spending about $4.7 billion went into these wars during the time of the war with Iraq and Afghanistan. Now we do see the situation in Iraq, and we see the situation in Afghanistan, and there is an economic crisis worldwide. With $4.7 trillion, there will be no starvation, no hunger in the world, and with this amount of money, all through education, which could be spent in intellectual struggle and education, there would be no terror, maybe no Al-Qaeda, no ISIS. So we learned from experience in a hard way. Now it is the time for increase our relationship with United States, Turkey, Israel, all together, Christians, Muslims, and Jews. Alliance Christian, Muslims, and Jews is very, very crucial to eradicate the radicalism, because in three divine religions, even the unbelievers or Buddhists, all together we should do that, because we have the same goal. Nobody wants to be in war. Nobody wants to be suffer. We don't want them to suffer. We don't want us to suffer, of course. We have the same goal. And the world is enough for everybody. There is enough land for everybody. most of the lands in the world, maybe 99%, is occupied by the lizards and the birds. So enough resources for everybody. And we can do a lot of things all together. But this alliance is very crucial, people with wisdom. That's the reason why this conference is very important. We should do more and more. We have the obligation. We have the grounds, we have the evidences to convince these people, to educate these people, resources, especially United States as a superpower, of course. And all together, we can do an intellectual struggle to educate them through books, through websites, through TV programs. Media is, of course, a big power to do that. And, of course, another thing is, as an American, or a Christian, or Jew, or whatever, I mean, as an American, it is very hard to go and educate these people. I mean, if an American would go and tell the Al-Qaeda or their imams, you're doing wrong, they wouldn't listen, of course. But there are people who can do that. And Mr. Adnan Oktar has 300 books, 1,000 websites in 75 languages. For example, in one of his books is Islam Denounces Terrorism. That was written right after the September 11 attack. And it has become a bestseller in the United States, and it is a bestseller in the Islamic world. Gives all the powerful evidences from the Quran and from the Hadith, why terrorism and violence is against Islam. So we can do that, but by allying and with the power of United States, media and websites, everything all together, intellectual people with wisdom coming together, this will be more effective and will more soon, actually, sooner. So let's do that. That's an invitation, of course. We're in New York right now in the building of United Nations. Of course, these problems cannot be solved with pure politics. And we have seen that since 70 years. United Nations is not a new institution. It has existed. United Nations Security Council failed in all these countries. In Syria, it failed. In Iraq, they cannot generate new policies. And they cannot generate solutions to these problems. So pure politics cannot do that. Spiritual leaders and people with good intentions have to ally. Christians, Jews, Muslims have to ally with good intentions and do an intellectual struggle to eradicate these problems. Of course, there are some people, evil people, I would say, and try to generate conflict between Christians, Muslims, and Jews. But we shouldn't allow that. And we should do this struggle against bigotry, which is the foundation of this radicalism and extremism, which is spreading worldwide. It may, God forbid, might come to the United States, and the United States had these experiences, actually. September 11 attacks, for example. There was a bombing in Boston, or bombing some U.S. embassies worldwide. So, and also, these terrorism reached some European countries also. So, again, it is doable, and altogether it will be much more faster and effective. And I would like to extend my thanks, and if you have any questions, I would be more than happy to answer. I can be more specific, but I mean, for example, you can ask the questions. What I mean by true belief and false hadiths, for example, they are false beliefs based on what? And how can we correct these false beliefs with true beliefs? I can give more specific evidences. Thank you very much. By education, what I mean is not just university education. Because if you check the commanders, for example, of Al-Qaeda, you will see many of them have been graduated through the universities of the United Kingdom, maybe American universities, some of them. There are PhD students. It's not they illiterate, actually, and they didn't go to the universities. But what I mean by education is, we have to replace their false beliefs with the true beliefs. What is true beliefs should be based on? Of course, the faith is based on the words from the scriptures. They use false hadiths. So we have to make a discrimination between the false religion and the true religion based on true beliefs from the scriptures, which is Quran, of course, and which is gospel, which is the Torah. And in Quran, I explained to you, for example, there is a verse, God says there is no compulsion in religion. That means you cannot force anybody, it's haram. Haram means illegal, actually, against the Quran, and to believe in anything. But these people, for example, there are false hadiths in four Sunni sects. For example, you see, I'm a Muslim and I shave. It says from Bukhari and Muslim, these are the most famous hadith books, actually. There is a false hadith, and it's believed in four different sects. If you shave, if somebody who recites Quran, although recites Quran and shaves, kill him. So these people believe in that. These people know false hadith very well, but they don't know much about the Quran. And they give priority to these false hadiths. And there are many of them. For example, if somebody doesn't pray, kill him. Doesn't fast, kill him. They see woman as inferior. They talk about beating the woman and putting the stick on the wall. Or they say music is haram, arts is haram, aesthetics is haram. But if you look at the Quran, there is no such thing. There is modernity in Islam. There is no compulsion means, of course, no. It's secularism. Secularism is in the essence of Islam. Democracy, freedom of thought, and freedom of worship is in the essence of Islam. And there is modernity. There is nothing wrong about the arts, aesthetics, and science. In fact, God encourages science, orders to study, to ponder, to see the evidences of the creation of God. Science is created by God. Anyhow, so what they do is against Islam. But how can we convince these people? Of course, it's impossible to go talk Al-Qaeda or ISIS militants and they have their Kalashnikovs in their hands. But what we can do is, through the intellectual struggle, we can educate their imams, but they get religious obligations, to their fatwa. And by changing their minds, with true evidences from the Quran, why it is wrong through books, of course, intellectual struggle, and we can do it, and we are doing this actually. And we can eradicate the grounds of radicalism and extremism. There is a verse, God says, do not go extremes in your religion. So radicalism and extremism is against Islam actually, against religion. That is being compassionate, soft-spoken. According to Islam, the Christians, Jews have to be treated very nicely. God says, argue with them only in the kindest way. Muslim men are allowed to marry Jewish wives, Christian wives. We are allowed to eat their meals, socialize with them, to love them. And God also says in the Quran, monasteries, churches, mosques, and the synagogues, where God's name is mentioned much, are under protection of Allah, under protection of Muslims. And in fact, at the time of the Prophet, they rebuilt some synagogues, some churches, and they were in very good relation with the Christians and Jews. In fact, the first hijrah at the time of the Prophet was to Christians. Christians protected Muslims from the idolaters, from the unbelievers at the time of our Prophet. So this is the way it should be. So we cannot, we shouldn't allow people to put enmity and hatred among Christians, Jews, and wives. Ally together, these are religions of compassion, mercy, love, tolerance, and justice. And do an intellectual struggle. Military interventions. Violence only generates violence. Every time the United States goes and attack a country, that generates more enmity and hatred against the United States. Everybody knows that. So this makes these people, for example, Al-Qaeda or other terror organizations, to find more support, to find more militants, much more easy. They say, you see, the United States is killing our people. Let's do jihad. And they get much support. So it goes into a vicious cycle. This is not the way to do that. And in fact, we have seen this. We have this experience. Everybody knows. So what needs to be done is, intellectually, with evidences, powerful evidences, replacing false beliefs with true beliefs. That's what I mean by true education. Not only university education. Of course, university education is required. But in the universities, this is not thought to the people. So it should be thought to eradicate these grounds for radicalism and extremism. There are problems in Nigeria, there are problems in Africa. Boko Haram, of course, is a major problem. As you said, there are imams who are preaching this wrong beliefs to these people, and they have in their subconscious mind what they are doing is right. For example, everybody knows there are suicide bombers. And of course they believe by exploding the bombs, and of course, that is suicide, of course, and killing themselves, they will go to paradise. But there is a verse in Quran. God says, "There is, do not kill yourselves." It's very clear, right? There is no justification. Do not kill yourselves. There is no justification for suicide. No exceptions. So, but these people have these false hadiths, and then their imams to give them this fatwa. They, of course, do suicide. But if you kill yourself, you go eternally, according to Islam, eternally, infinitely into the hell, because you don't have the time to repent, because you're killing yourself, of course. You're great and committing a great sin, according to God. And also, they kill innocent people. For example, they explode this bomb in a shopping mall. There are innocent children, innocent women, innocent elderly, or innocent men in the shopping mall. Sometimes there are both Christians, Jews, and Muslims Right, for in September 11 attack, many Muslims died in the September 11 attack also. So they killed innocent Muslims, innocent Jews, innocent Christians, innocent unbelievers, of course. Because unbelievers, according to Quran, is also under protection of Muslims. If Allah says, if unbelievers, the idolaters, ask you for protection, for security, God says, that's an order from God. Bring them to a secure place. So now let's imagine, for example, there is a threat for unbelievers, and they ask you for your help. For example, they are followed by people. If they catch him or her, they will kill him, and they knock on your door in the middle of the night. So what has to be done, if you're a Muslim, that's an order from God. You have to open your door and take this person inside, but by doing this, you might get killed. So you take a risk. Your own life is also at risk. But you have to do it. There is no ifs, ands, or buts according to this verse. So that's the way the unbelievers should be treated according to Islam. Islam is a religion of peace, compassion. There is no killing innocent people, but we have to teach these people and do this systematically. It's through books, of course, internet. Saying you are in the wrong way doesn't mean meaningless. I mean, they believe in it as a religion. The killing or die for these people is not a problem. So we have to teach a global teaching, intellectual struggle. Of course, United States resources, power is needed in that. And they have the intention, but the United States sometimes doesn't know. For example, they couldn't generate a new policy in Syria. First they tried to intervene and then they changed their mind, everybody knows. In Iraq, they don't know how to react in Iraq also, how to solve these problems. But there is only one way. There is no other way. It's intellectually doing this with the moderate Muslims who can do that actually, who can reach these people. We know the problem very well actually. For example, that's also in Christianity and Judaism. There are sects, as everybody knows. There is Sunni and Shi'i, and there is conflicts between this. Actually, in all these Muslim countries, there is no two countries in war against each other. There is always internal conflicts and sectarian wars, like in Syria, for example, like in Iraq, Sunni against Shi'i. And also there are conflicts among Sunni sects also. There are four Sunni sects, major: Hanafi, Hanbali, Maliki, and Shafi. And there are conflicts in their beliefs also. So what they do is, they take the hadiths, some, of course, they are fabricated. How do we know that? Because if any hadith is incompatible with the Quran, with the word of God, it's definitely fabricated. They slander our Prophet by saying this is a hadith from the Prophet, because Prophet would never do anything against Islam. And there were no sect, that, of course, at the time of the Prophet, and he ruled with the Quran. So there are conflicts between different sects also. And everybody thinks they are the best, they know the best. And of course, they use these fabricated hadiths. And then, of course, this leads to radicalism, extremism, and violence. What needs to be done is, we know these problems exist, and to do a very effective education. But this can be not different interpretations of different people. If I would say, for example, this is my interpretation, that doesn't mean anything. It's meaningless. Everybody can say it has to be from the Quran. It's either compatible with the Quran, God says, and it is lawful, and then we accept it. That is the criteria. And this is the criteria given in the Quran by God Himself, actually. Allah says, Allah is the judge. Judge means only Allah can tell which is unlawful or lawful or unlawful. Decide. And Allah talks also, God talks about, there are many verses about the sufficiency of the Quran. So Quran is sufficient. If somebody accepts that at the very beginning, because God says that, and God says also another verse, you will give an account with Quran. I'm giving these details to you because you should know by talking to these people or spreading this knowledge. Since you now learn this, you have the obligation to do the struggle against radicalism and extremism. You can use these evidences to teach these people also, or at least help us in that way. And so we have to use the evidences from the Quran. If you do that, the problems will be solved. Otherwise, everybody thinks they are the best. They know the best. Everybody is wrong, and they have given the obligation, religious obligation, to kill these people. And it will progress. It will get worse. So what needs to be done is, our alliance is very important, education, and support the people who can do this actually. And we are doing this. I'm not saying we are the only people do this, but whoever is moderate Muslims, Turkey is especially there is a more moderate Islam in Turkey. Turkey is a kind of role model in that way. It is more, I'm not saying it's ideal, but it is more democracy, more secularism. To lead other countries, because there is a lot of oppression in countries like Iran, for example, in Afghanistan, in Saudi Arabia. This is haram. This is against Islam. They force the woman to cover. They force the people to go and pray. They force the people to fast. This is against religion. It is, Allah says this is unlawful. It's haram. So, again, this is, we know what the disease is. It's a fanaticism exists, especially a third world fanaticism. And the bigotry, which is the foundation of these radical views, of these angry speeches, extremism, and which leads to violence and these terror organizations. So capturing terrorists is not a solution. It's like fighting the mosquito. You don't try to catch the mosquitoes. You dry out the swamp. It has to be ideological. You remove the ideology of violence. And then you can have peace. And I'm very hopeful. This will happen. Because God will do it. And it will be soon. In 5, 10, 20 years, we will be able to see a very different world. So what matters is what we do in the struggle.